So I ever told you all that my dad is a little crazy? Now some of you know that because you've met him, but maybe you're not aware of this facet of his craziness. When he takes on a hobby, he goes all the way with it. When he started sailing, he couldn't just have fun. That's why he's not here tonight. No. He had to get a bigger boat, and then a bigger boat, and then he had to start racing that boat, and then he had to win at racing that boat, which is hopefully what he's doing right now. And then, well, when I was in about third grade, my dad decided we should get a parrot. So we got a parrot, a lovely parrot, but he didn't just get a parrot. Over a span of a few years, he got 7 parrots, the last 2 of which he intended to mate so that we could then breed parrots. Just don't pay attention to the fact that the last 2 birds were both male, so that did not quite work out. But my favorite bird was, in fact, the first bird. My favorite bird was called Pete. Well, initially we called him Peaches because we thought he was a girl. And so we named him after my grandmother. Because what way do you honor your grandmother than to name a bird after her? But when we found out Peaches was a male, we named him Pete, a Moluccan cockatoo. You guys have seen an umbrella cockatoo. They have like the yellow right here that comes up like an umbrella. Beautiful birds. And this is very similar but peachy, hence Peaches. And he was so soft. He was the kind of parrot that you could cuddle, right? So he was very comforting. And so I loved Pete. But the story goes that one Sunday morning, we went downstairs to find 2 of the birds dead in their cages. And Pete was woozy. He was like barely staying. And so we rushed Pete to Falls Road Animal Hospital. And I should tell you that not only was it a Sunday morning, which pastor's household, a little crazy, but it was Easter Sunday morning. Hallelujah! Christ is risen! But what about Pete? It was a day that was supposed to be about life, but death broke in. And so it was 18 years ago when death broke into the busyness of New York City. How jarring that was. Vulnerability broke into a national mindset of invincibility. And very soon after, fear broke into our sense of hope. Prejudice broke into our generosity. The truth is, of course, that many people around the world before then never had the privilege of such invincibility. Born into countries in constant civil war, or places facing regular famine or life-threatening diseases. But what broke that day 18 years ago was the illusion that we can somehow be separate, exempt, free from fear. I believe there were 2 consequences of this. One was that we looked upon one another, especially those who look different from us, with a new suspicion and fear. But the other is that in becoming among the vulnerable, as in recognizing in the mirror vulnerability, we learned to bless one another and to receive blessings. Now, granted, there are many of us who by our very natures cannot stand to be helped. but want to always be on the other side, the one helping. But in general, we learned that day what it is to be served and to stand together, supporting one another, to find strength in solidarity. What we lost both physically in so many who died and emotionally in our vulnerability, we gained in a stronger sense of life together. Not universally, of course. And still, our distrust of brown-skinned people is a disgrace. But it pushed us to find blessings and be blessings in community. United we stand. May we live into the best version of that, that even in mourning, we may find laughter together, that even in hunger, we may have our fill together, that even when tempted to hate, we might encourage one another in love. In this world, there is plenty of death where there should be life, and fear where there should be hope. May we be people of the Beatitudes, offering joy in the midst of despair, and thanks to Jesus, life in the midst of death. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.